This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
نحن أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذني الله وإياكم منها معاشر الأحباب إخواني وأخواتي dear brothers and sisters shall I try to keep an eye on your children so they don't disturb the other brothers and sisters. Jazakumullahu khairan for coming to this program. We value your presence, but try your best inshallah to keep your children under control. Today our topic is about salah, a major act of ibadah in our deen. Before talking about salah, I would like to talk about something very important that is happening in our business life. One of our teachers in the UK, he was used to teach us finance. He told us a story one time, just a couple of months ago. Told us about some business practices of an airline company in a Muslim country. He said that if you travel from that country to Europe, most likely you'll be flying in the newest in one of their newest aircrafts, and you'll get the best treatment. You'll be given 5 stars service. Or the way around, if you travel from Europe to that country. But he said, if you travel from that country with the same company to Pakistan or India or one of the African countries, you will end up flying in one of their oldest planes, and you don't get the same service. What is bizarre and ridiculous about this business practices is that the majority of their clients, customers, come from these countries, from India, Pakistan, and some African countries. What is not comprehensible, it's hard to understand it sometimes, why this company is taking care of a small number of their customers and ignoring the needs of the majority of their customers. It is their main, they represent their main source of income. So it is against the norms and the rules of business. Most likely they were trying to impress their European clients. That is the only interpretation we have now. But because some of their clients might change. You know, they might choose the service of another company. On another hand, I was talking to a brother a couple of days ago in the city. He was selling something that is haram to consume. And I told him, brother, this is a haram income. You need to do something about it. And he said, this is the main income. This is the main source of my income. If I stop selling these items, I will end up, my business is gone. I have to look for something else. Islamically, it's not accepted. What is haram. You have to do something about it as a Muslim, especially when you know it's haram. But however, this is what business people do. They give more attention to their main source of income. If they have an income of coming from other sources, but it is not significant, so they don't give it that attention. This is what many halal meat store do. I mean, their main income is coming from meat. When you go to buy some other grocery from their stores, you find some products and some other products, you don't find them. You ask them, you say, brother, we're just providing these items for the convenience, for the sake of providing some convenience for our customers. We don't really care about those products because they are not our main source of income. So their main source of income is meat. And they take care of it, they advertise it, they talk about it, they take good care of it. Now when it comes to Salat, the business of Al-Akhirah, Salat, Ikhwani, dear brothers and sisters, is the main source of Hasanat in our life. Is our main source of Hasanat. Zakat, you do it once a year. Hajj, you do it once in your lifetime. You might do Hajj for the second time, third time, fourth time, but not every day. You don't do it every week. Siyam, Ramadan, you do it once a year, even though it is a great act of worship. But Salat again, which is Taraweeh, is a main part of our Ibadat during Ramadan. This is something that we do on a daily basis, five times a day. And it is our main source of Hasanat Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith, he said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْهُ الْمَرْءُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ. He said the first thing that the servant will be asked or taken to account for on the Day of Judgment is Salah. If it is sound and good, then the rest of his deeds will be good, will be fine. And if it is not, if it is corrupted, it is not done properly, then the rest of his deed will be corrupted. That means they will not look to the rest of his deeds. And this is in Bab al-Ibadat. When we talk about acts of worship, the first thing that people will be taken to account for is Salah. Of course, when it comes to crimes and disputes, the first thing is dima. Dima is, you know, when someone is killed, when a blood is shed. So the first thing will be taken to account for, the people will be taken into account for, when it comes to crimes and disputes, is dima. When someone is killed, that's why it is a major sin to kill someone without haqq, without a right. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that this is the first thing you will be called for, is your salat. If it is fine, it is good, then everything will be fine after that. They will look, then the malaika or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to account for the rest of the ibadat after the salat is fine. It is the greatest gift that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his ummah. Given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, in that wonderful journey. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had very difficult time in Mecca in the last 3 years. Because the most correct view is that Isra wal-Mi'raj, the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, took a place. It is, what is common, many people, they think it happened on the 27th of Rajab. There is no doubt that it did not happen on that time. Because Aisha radiallahu anha, in the 10th year of the Risala, The 10th year after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made prophet in Mecca. Aisha radiallahu anha passed away in the month of Ramadan after Rajab, in the 10th year of al-Bi'tha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija, what did they say?
Aisha.
I said Aisha, okay. Khadija radiallahu anha. I'm talking about Khadija in Mecca. Aisha, he got married with Aisha radiallahu anha in Medina. Talking about Khadija. Khadija, there is no doubt that she passed away before the 5 daily prayers were prescribed. And we know that the 5 daily prayers were prescribed at the time of Isra wal Mi'raj. And she passed away in the month of Ramadan, in the 10th year of the Bi'tha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, was facing many difficulties, great hardship in Mecca. His family and his tribe was boycotted by the leaders of Mecca. And after this boycott was over, his uncle Abu Talib, his guardian, the one who was protecting him, Abu Talib passed away. Aisha passed away. So it was called the year of the grief. Aam al-Huzn. Khadija, again, talking about Aisha, is a famous wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She is in our mind all the time. We all love them. They are all the mothers of the believers. But anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was facing a great deal of difficulty with his people. In Shawwal, in the month of Shawwal, after Ramadan, after she passed away, he decided to go outside Mecca. He went to the city of Al-Ta'if. And he had a conversation with the leaders there, trying to invite them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the response was very harsh. They were very hostile to him. He didn't receive a good treatment from the people of Al-Ta'if. And the foolish and their servants chased him in the narrow lanes of Ta'if, of the city of Ta'if, pelting him with stones, alayhi salatu wassalam. And he was pursued by a merciless crowd. They chased him for 2 miles outside the city of Ta'if. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Aisha later on, Aisha now, not Khadija. He said that it was the worst day that I have faced with your people. It was the worst day in that Meccan period. Because she asked him, Did you find any other difficulty beside the day of Uhud? Have you faced any hardship other than what you faced on the day of Uhud? And he told her about this story. So in this atmosphere of oppression, torture and enmity coming from his own people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited him to that wonderful journey of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, night journey and ascension to the heaven. He traveled from the city of Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to the heavens. There he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not see Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha said, not Khadija, she said that he did not see Allah. But he met him and he received from him this gift of salah. It was in a conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And salah was prescribed on Musa alayhi salam the same way, within a direct conversation between him and between Allah. When he fled Egypt and he went to the area of Sham, where he met this pious man, he got married with his daughter. He stayed there for 10 years taking care of his sheep, and then he decided to go back to Egypt. Then he saw something that looked like a fire. It was a source of nur, of light. He thought it was a fire. He wanted to get some guidance, because he was looking maybe for his way back to Egypt, but he got the right guidance. He got guidance to Al-Akhirah, guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became a great messenger of Allah. In that meeting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. A conversation between Allah and Musa. Again, Musa did not see Allah, but Musa was able to hear Allah talking to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed it in the Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And verily, Allah has talked to Musa alayhi salam. Taklima here they call it tawkid in Arabic. It's another word to confirm the verb, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah knew that some people will have a doubt about it. You know, how come a human being would be able to talk to the creator of the heavens and the earth? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed it, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. It is a confirmation at the end of the ayah that this is something that happened in that meeting. And in that meeting he told him, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And establish the prayer for my remembrance. طيب. Salat, ya ikhwan, is a means of purification. And when you do your salah, when you insist on your salat, you keep doing your salat on a daily basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify your heart, will purify erase your sins. Your soul will be purified. And the process of purification starts with wudu. When you start making wudu, the process of purification will start. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said about a hadith about wudu, he said, he who perform ablution well, his sins would come out from his body, even coming out from under his nails. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim. We don't understand how these sins are coming out under our nails, but this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Maybe just it's a figurative speech, it could be a figurative speech, that your body and your soul will be completely purified from these sins. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he told us about a story, a very good story. He said there were two brothers who passed away at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was 40 days between the time the first one passed away, 40 days, and the second one has also passed away. He said, we mentioned the first one in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we were talking about how lucky he was because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was present at that time when the first one passed away. They were kind of comparing between the two of them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not witness the death of the second one, and they both of them were brothers, but he witnessed the death of the first one. These people, or the Sahaba, group of Sahaba, thought that the first one was lucky. Yani it was an honor for him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present at the time of his death. Maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped him to say shahada. Allahu a'lam, it is not mentioned in the hadith. Maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded him of al-akhirah. It is something great. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beside you when passing away, I mean, it's a great honor. He will give you the best treatment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he cares about his sahaba, and he cares about them going to Jannah. He wants everyone from his ummah to be saved from the punishment of hellfire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made statement when they were talking about, you know, these two brothers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what will inform you where his prayer, he was talking about the second one. He asked them, wasn't he a Muslim? They said, of course. And there was nothing wrong with him about the second one now. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, and what will inform you where his prayer has made him, where his prayer has made him reach? Yani your prayer will take you to a certain extent on the Day of Judgment, to a certain level on the Day of Judgment. It is all based on your niyyah, your intention, the way you took care of your prayer, the way you used to make wudu, the way you used to make tasbih and takbir and dua and your salat, how time you used to spend with your salat. So people are different. People doing their prayer in different ways. And here comes the importance of learning the fiqh of salat and trying our best, because as I said, this is the main source of hasanat in our life. So we have to take care of it. I'm not saying we ignore the other things. I'm not saying you don't care of zakat, or you don't take care of hajj and siyam. But if this is something that we do on a daily basis, then we have to, there is many reasons to take care of this ibadah which is the second pillar of Islam. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, and then he continued, he added, he said, indeed the example of the prayer is like the example of a fresh river which is by the door of one of you. He immerses himself in it 5 times a day. And then he told them, so what do you think would remain from his impurities? Someone taking a shower 5 times a day. Huh? Do you think you're going to come close to him and smell something bad from him coming from his body? Taking 5 times a day a shower on a daily basis, he will be so clean. And Rasulullah is saying here, making question here, so what do you think would remain from his impurities? This salat we take it for granted, ya ikhwan. This is our problem. It became part of our habit. It's a practice in the community. It is part of our culture. We inherit it from our parents and grandparents. This is how we grow up with salat. And I will give you examples about things that we used to do, and I used to do myself. And then later on, I discovered that there are different options of doing these things in the salat. And when you do the different options that Rasulullah ﷺ used to do, you will enjoy the ibadah of a salat. Because it does not become a routine. Because when something you do it on a regular basis, and it becomes a routine, you might do it without thinking. Imagine about driving from your house every day, from your house to your workplace. You know the place very well. You don't think, you just go press on the gas and go. You didn't even, sometimes you pass so many lights and you turn right and left and then you reach to your workplace and said, I made it, it's been 10 minutes, I've been driving, thinking about other things. Why? Because it became a habit. You are doing the same thing on a daily basis. The same exact thing. So now if you do the same exact thing in your salat, you don't try to change, you don't try to learn the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, it might become a boring routine, that something we do it on a daily basis. We start our salat, we start right away thinking about other things. Thinking about our business life or our family life or anything. So here Rasulullah ﷺ said, indeed, at the end he said, indeed, you don't know where his prayer has made him reach about this man. So basically Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, don't pass your judgment. You're comparing between these two brothers, talking about the excellence of the first one because I witnessed his death. But you don't know about the other one. He's a Muslim. You said that there was nothing wrong with him. Maybe he was doing an excellent job. He was performing his prayer in the best way. And his prayer might take him to higher levels on the Day of Judgment. Abu Uthman, another Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he said, I was with Salman al-Farisi. And this is something, a very interesting story here. It's something good, I mean, for teachers can learn from it. It's very common here in this society. They use teaching aids and those things to illustrate the ideas and to help the student understand, because many learners are visual learners, right? And they like to see things happening in front of them. So here, Abu Uthman, radiallahu anhu, another Sahabi, he said, I was with Salman al-Farisi under a tree. And he took a dry branch and he began to shake it. Salman al-Farisi is shaking now the dry branch until all its leaves fell to the ground. This is what Salman did. And then he was looking at his companion Abu Uthman. He said, will you not ask me why I am doing this? And Abu Uthman said, why are you doing this? He said, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he did the same. I was with him under the shade of a tree. And he did the same to me. He said he took a dry branch and he began to shake it until all its leaves fell to the ground. And he asked him the same question. So Salman, and it's a good way to remember these ahadith and these stories. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always introduce himself with something else. He would ask a question. He will sometimes joke with some of his companions. He will ask them to ride his camel. And they say, wow, this is very special. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inviting me to ride his camel. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be walking, and the Sahabi would be riding the camel. So the Sahabi would never forget the hadith. Would never forget the hadith, because it was a special day where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to ride his camel when they were talking, we were walking together, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his camel. So it's a way of teaching other people important things. And this is something that we can use with our children. It doesn't have to be in a formal setup all the time, like this way we're doing it, very formal, very boring. It doesn't have to be formal all the time. We can be playing with our children or playing with other brothers, and we mention a hadith or a story. We're not good at it, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very good at it. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shook this branch, dry branch, until all its leaves fell to the ground, and then he said, he made the same question. Oh Salman, will you not ask me why I am doing this? And then Salman said, why are you doing this, Ya Rasulullah? And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, oh Salman, he said, indeed, each time the Muslim performs wudu, so it starts with wudu, properly, then perform the five prayers. So one, I'm not sure, maybe he said one of the five prayers. His sins fall from him just like these leaves have fallen. So it is a process, it is a means of purification. All your sins will fall like these leaves were falling from this branch. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayah. He's connecting now the hadith, the sharia ruling, with the ayah from the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, he's very familiar with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is obvious. And he reads it, he recites the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. And he tries his best. He used to try his best, alayhi salatu wasalam, to link all of the teachings, all of his instructions that he used to give to his sahaba radiallahu anhum with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does it most of the time. He does it this way. Then he would recite the ayah at the end. And here he said, "Aqim al-salata tarafay al-nahari wa zulafan min al-layl. Inna al-hasanati yudhibna al-sayyat. Dhalika dhikra lil-dhakirin." In Surah Hud. So Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa told him in this at the end of this story, establish the prayer. This is Allah saying, establish the prayer at the two ends of the day, which is Fajr and Maghrib. This is the first, the beginning of the day, and at the end of the day, maybe Maghrib and Isha, or Isha and Maghrib could be included. Asr actually could be the end of the day, and Maghrib and Isha could be included. It depends on there are different explanations. Maghrib and Isha could be included in the night part, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish the prayer at the two ends of the day and when the night approaches. وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Indeed, the good deeds is what happened. So he said, he's talking about something, a principle here. But this principle is linked with the salat. What does the salat do to you, to your sins? So he said, indeed the good deeds remove the evil deeds. So you commit evil deeds, you come to the salat. I mean, نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحفظنا من الوقوع في المعاصي. But no one is perfect. We all do mistakes. And we are humans. And we do mistakes, but we are supposed to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So one of the ways of purifying our sins and our erasing our mistakes is coming to the prayer all the time, or praying on time, take care of our prayers. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed the good deeds remove the evil deeds. This is the reminder for those who remember. In a different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was narrated by Abu Huraira, and this is a beautiful hadith. This is a bushra. This is a glad tiding to those who make wudu at home and they come to the masajid. the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray with jama'ah. This is something that is not taking place now within Muslim communities. The houses of Allah are abandoned. There's always a minority of people who come to the masajid. You see always, every day you see the same faces, almost the same faces coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people, yani I will tell you something, wallah, I have to be honest with you. Yani they will be happy on the day of judgment. Just listen to this hadith. You will be happy on the day of judgment. And this is the real business of al-akhirah. This is the real life. They are preparing themselves to the real life. They are the ones who are reaping the rewards. Because they are doing this on a daily basis. Alhamdulillah, there is a group of this ummah. They are reviving the sunnah of Rasulullah. They come to the houses of Allah on a daily basis. Whenever they look for a house or to rent a place, they look for a place beside a masjid so it will be easy for them to go to the house of Allah and pray in the masjid. And the people who don't come to the masajid, they come only for Jum'ah or Eid prayer, they are losing yani tons of hasanat. Just look at this hadith. Abu Huraira narrated this hadith. He said, Rasulullah said, the congregational prayer, so talking about Salat al-Jama'ah, of anyone amongst you is more than 25 or 70 times, 25 or 27 times. Here the doubt could be coming from one of the narrators, because Rasulullah would not give them 25 or 27, but this ulama were very precise. They took care of the hadith of Rasulullah, so if they have a doubt, he would tell you this is what the narrator said. He mentioned 27. So here in this hadith, this is how the ulama recorded this hadith. And this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, in reward than his prayer in the market or in his house. So someone is in the marketplace beside his merchandise, he would just do the prayer beside his, you know, merchandise. And that's it. Do the Maghrib there and continue, because he wants to stay beside his, you know, business place. So Rasulullah said the congregational prayer, this is a very important hadith, if anyone amongst you is more than 25 or 27 times in reward than his prayer in his market or in his house. For if he performs ablution completely, yani his wudu is done properly at home, and then goes to the masjid with the sole intention of performing the prayer. So he doesn't have another intention, he's not going to meet someone for business, he's not going to attend the aqiqah, he's not going to attend a wedding. It's halal to go attend the aqiqah, I'm not saying it's wrong. But I'm talking about intention here. He's not going to attend the janazah once in a while, something that happens in the masjid, no. His niyyah is to go to perform the prayer in the masjid. This is what Rasulullah said. And nothing, Rasulullah is confirming here this meaning, urges him to proceed to the masjid except the prayer. Nothing urges him to proceed to the masjid except the prayer. Then on every step, nowadays maybe every round of our wheels or maybe, Allah is able to count our hasanat in a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to do it. He's able to do all things. It's not difficult. It's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to count our hasanat. But this is what Rasulullah said. He said on every step which he takes towards the masjid, he will be raised one degree. Your status will be raised in Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One degree. Or one of his sins will be forgiven. Ya salam. With every step. Imagine if you live far away from the masjid and you have to drive every day, or you walk to the masjid for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Ya salam. For every step you make to the masjid, you'll be raised one degree, or one of your sins will be forgiven. The angels of Allah, this is what Rasulullah said, will keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's forgiveness and blessings for every one of you, so long as he keep sitting at his prayer place. Yani even after you pray, you are seated in your place making adhkar, the malaika will be saying to Allah, asking Allah, the malaika in the masjid, O Allah, bless him. O Allah, be merciful to him. What do you want more than that? The angels of Allah, in the house of Allah, they are making dua to you. You don't know that they are making dua to you. You are sitting down, making tasbih or dhikr or reading Quran. And they say, O Allah, bless him. O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, be merciful to him. This is something beautiful. It's amazing, ya ikhwan. But many people, they don't know the value of coming to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as long as, you know, they will be making dua, asking Allah to bless you, forgive you, be merciful to you, as long as he does not break his wudu. If you break your wudu, then they stop. Because you have to make wudu again, come back and do dhikr again, or you leave, I mean, it's up to you. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, so long as he does not break his wudu or cause others some troubles in the masjid. If he is creating fitna in the masjid, creating problems, then the malaika might stop making dua. And this is happening in our masajid. Sometimes we raise our voices and we have a conflict and a dispute or create a fitna. Or here the malaika might stop making dua to that person who is creating fitna in the masjid. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added that one of you is in a prayer so long yani he's waiting for the prayer. Yani the long you are, the more you are waiting for the prayer. مثلا, if you come before the prayer 10-15 minutes and you are waiting, it will be counted to you as you are praying. You will be getting hasanat, you will be reaping hasanat all the time. The salat, ya ikhwan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a bushra, glad tidings to those who perform the salat, they do iqamat al-salat. That's why here comes the importance of iqamat al-salat. Because iqamat al-salat means establishing the prayer in a permanent place. It's not in your house, it's not in the marketplace, in a place called the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. Iqamat al-salat is to establish the prayer in jama'ah together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger all the time talk about iqamatu salat wa aqimu salat yuqimuna salat. They establish the prayer together. You have to do it with the imam, with the muadzin, iqama, you know, to take care of the place. We come together as a community and we do it as a community, and this is what is called iqamatu salat. And I don't know any other explanation of the word iqamatu salat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He started the book, the Quran, what is the first surah in the Quran? An-Nas? Young? Surah Iqra? Al-Alaq is the first surah in the Quran? Al-Fatiha. Iqra is the first surah that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Al-Fatiha is the first surah in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that it is the greatest surah of the Quran. It is the greatest. Like Ayat al-Kursi is the greatest ayah, is the greatest verse in the Quran. Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah. Because Al-Fatiha has 7 ayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened His book or started His book with Surah Al-Fatiha. This surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected for us the Muslims to recite on a daily basis in our salat. If we do only the fara'id, we will be reciting this surah 17 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected in this surah a beautiful, a great, amazing dua. Beautiful dua. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He didn't ask us to ask for risk because He provided it. His risk, the risk is provided by Him. He didn't tell us to ask for anything. He told us that we have to ask for al-hidayah on a daily basis, because this is what we need. We need al-hidayah to be able to go to Jannah on the Day of Judgment. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. O Allah, guide us to the right path, the path of whom You have favored with Your bounties. And this is something that we do it on a daily basis. In our salat, 17 times, if we pray the nawafil, the rawatib, we might be reciting this surah more than 30 times, sometimes 40 times. Imagine making this dua 40 times or 30 times a day. It is something really important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this dua for a purpose. And he said, from ulama, they said, with the barakah, because of the blessing of this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah, the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 3/4 of the people of Jannah will be from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some ulama, they said, because of this dua, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept, you know, you are making this dua on a daily basis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you, or guide me, or guide the rest of the Muslims for some ways of hidayah, because there are many ways of hidayah. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is one Sirat, the Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are many deeds, many ways of, yani, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they prefer to do dhikr on a regular basis. Some other people are wealthy, they like to give money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they like to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, and they have the ability to fast. Some people, they cannot handle fasting, but they are teaching other people, or reciting Quran, or helping other people with their chores, or helping the needy. So there are many ways to, gain hasanat and reap the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this surah, this is Surah Al-Fatiha. The next surah is Surah Al-Baqarah. So you are asking on a daily basis for al-hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing the answer in the next surah. So it's not something that is hidden. It's not a secret. You just have to turn the page and you will find the sifat of al-muhtadeen. You want al-hidayah to as-sirat al-mustaqim? This is what you want, because you are asking Allah on a daily basis, the hidayah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you in the Quran, in the next surah, in the next page, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You're asking for hidayah. This book is a source of guidance for the people of taqwa. But what is the point? We're talking about salat here, right? What's the point? He described for us the people of taqwa, the people of hidayah in the Quran, in this surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, the next surah. He told us about their qualities. And he said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the knowledge of the unseen. They don't have problem with the unseen. They don't have the mentality that if I don't see it, I don't believe in it. They don't have problem with that. They have no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, that He created Jannah and He created Nar, and that He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this book, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account, people will take them to account on the Day of Judgment. So they have no doubt about the knowledge of the unseen, even though they don't see it. But it's easy for them to believe in it, because they see the signs of the power of Allah in this universe. And they make tafakkur, they think, they contemplate about the signs of Allah in this universe, and they contemplate about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book. And then their second quality, الَذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. So they establish the prayer. And they do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verb here is in the present tense. The present tense in the Arabic language could mean future sometimes. Most likely it means something that people do on a regular basis, or they are doing it and they keep doing it. It's not in the past. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. That means they do it on a regular basis. This is part of their life. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. This is one of their qualities. And then he said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with. And he left it open. Because you could be something who is wealthy and he has to spend thousands for zakat, pay thousands for zakat. You could be someone who has a limited income. And you don't have to pay zakat because your income is limited, but you still can pay this $5 or $10 for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll be included among those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in those ayat. الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, he described them with hidayah. They are people of hidayah. Look, this is beautiful guidance. People of taqwa, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are their qualities. They believe in the unseen, they establish the prayer, they give from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yu'minun, they believe in what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believe in what was revealed to the prophets and messengers who came before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have yaqeen about al-akhirah. And then at the end he confirmed that they are well established on the way of hidayah. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And those are the winners. They are on the right path, and those are the winners on the Day of Judgment and in this dunya too. Because when you keep coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll have a good life. You feel some tumma'nina, some tranquility in your heart. You don't know sometimes the secret. You don't know why you feel this tranquility, this serenity, this tuma'nina. But it is coming from the dhikr of Allah. You are not confused anymore. You know your way. You know what you want in this life. You know your life is short. And you have to work for the sake of your akhirah. So you have a clear vision about your future. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, describing them with what? With Al-Hidayah again, and he's saying that they are muflihun, they are the winners. And within a few minutes we'll finish, inshallah. We'll give you a chance to talk about this program, maybe ask questions. Brother Nuhad is here, and maybe some other brothers are here. They will give you more information about the program that is being advertised for today, which is the next course about the Salat. In Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed these meanings in a different way. He said, Taseen, tilka ayatul Qur'an wa kitabin mubin. Taseen, it's two letters here, disconnected letters. They have, we don't know their meaning. Allahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their meaning. This is something that we can talk about it in a session of tafsir, inshallah. But this is not our point tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those are the verses of the Qur'an and a clear book. Clear book is the Qur'an. So he's talking about the verses of the Qur'an. He said, Hudan wa bushra lil mu'mineen. They are a source of guidance. And they are a source of, they are glad tidings to the mu'mineen. Because these Qur'an, these verses, give you glad tidings that you will be in Jannah. You'll be one of the winners. You will be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. This is the glad tidings. You are not working for nothing. You are not wasting your time. You are doing something very important. You will be paid for it on the Day of Judgment. You will be happy because of it on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hudan wa bushra lil mu'mineen. So it is a huda, source of guidance, and it is glad tidings for the people of Iman. Describing them with Iman. And then saying what? What are their qualities? Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Those who establish the prayer and give zakat and pay the zakat, وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they have yaqeen about al-akhirah. Certainty about al-akhirah. They have no doubt that the Day of Judgment will take place. In Surah Luqman, the same meaning in a different way. In Surah Luqman, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْحَكِيمِ. Those are the verses of the wise book. Again, the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, هُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ. In ayah, in Surah An-Naml, he said, هُدًا وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's a hidayah and a glad tiding to the people of Iman. In this ayah in Surah Luqman, he said, هُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ. Oh, he's describing them with ihsan. They are people of ihsan too. It is a source of guidance for them, these verses of the book. They are a source of guidance. And they are a rahmah, a source of mercy. Because this Quran is shifa, is rahmah. And what? To whom? To al-muhsinun, the people of ihsan. In Surah An-Naml, he described them with iman. In Surah Al-Baqarah, described them with taqwa and hidayah and falah. In Surah Al-Luqman, describe them with ihsan. They are people of ihsan, excellence. And all again, talking about the same qualities. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Those who establish the prayer and give zakat. والذين هم بالآخرة هم يوقنون. And then at the end he said أولئك, what he said in البقرة, the same آية, أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المتقون. Those are on the right path from their Lord and they are the winners in this dunya and الآخرة. Why, إخوان, why the prayer? Why is this prayer very important? It is a main act of ibadat. We have to take care of it. The ulama have written books about the salat because it is an act of worship that has combined many acts of worship. If you look at it, you think about it, it's divided into three types of deeds. There are some physical movements. We do them for the sake of Allah. You're doing ruku', doing sujood, putting your face. Your face, you know, face, your face is the most honorable part of your body, right? It's your image, it's your personality. When I look at your face, I know who you are. And you are placing it on the ground where people walk. And you are doing it for the sake of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate that. Your sujood will not be lost on the Day of Judgment. You will be rewarded for your sujood because you got rid of arrogance. You are not an arrogant person. You are able, you crushed your arrogance and you were able to make sujood and put your face on the ground for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ruku', the same thing. People in China until now, and Korea, South Korea and Japan, they do a kind of ruku'. They greet their leaders and their boss in their companies and their managers with a gesture that looks like a ruku', because they believe that the manager or the boss is the source of their risk. He's the one who is giving them the job. I lived in South Korea for a while, and I was told this is why they greet their leaders and their managers and their supervisors with this kind of greeting. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So there are physical movements, there are some verbal statements that we say. We read the Quran, we make tasbih and takbir and tahmeel. So all these things are combined in one ibadah. We recite the Quran. With the ulama, they said it is the best type of dhikr, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates dhikr, and He will reward the dhakirin, those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a regular basis. They have an open, they are always communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are people of dhikr, and the best type of dhikr is the qira'atul Qur'an, the recitation of the Qur'an, and we are doing the recitation of the Qur'an in our salat. If we don't recite the Qur'an, we don't recite al-Fatiha, our salat is not valid. And we do ruku' and sujood, we do tasbih and takbir, tahmid, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His blessings and His prayers upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We get a lot of hasanat with that. So there are many ibadat that are combined with the salat. We do wudu, we make the adhan. The people who do the adhan will be rewarded. Those who make iqama will be rewarded. When we come to the masjid, we build some relationship with our brothers and sisters in the masjid. And we do it for the sake of Allah. We have no business to share. But we come here, we know each other. You're from Pakistan, he's from Somalia, he's from Africa, he's from Ethiopia. We all came to the same place for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to Hajj, you'll be amazed. You see people coming from all walks of life, from different countries. Yes, you will see some problems there. You feel that this ummah needs some more education and people need to work on their deen and everything. But at least you can see some positive things there. We don't want to be negative all the time and just focus on the negative aspects of our life. But try to be positive sometimes and look at good things in our life. As an ummah, you go there, you'll be happy. Yani the way they're building the masajid there, Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, they are beautiful places. You feel some tuma'nina, you meet people from different countries and different cultures, and you feel, you know, the ni'mah of belonging to this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to say in the Quran, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. And there is a strong link between sabr and salah. We used to say there is a strong link between siyam and sabr. Because if we don't have sabr, we don't have patience, we will not be able to perform siyam. in Ramadan because we have to fast for 18 hours sometimes in the summer. But in Salah, we need sabr. You need to be patient. Waking up on a daily basis at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, it's not something easy. You wake up, you make wudu. When it's winter time, you know that there is snow waiting for you outside. And you have to turn on your car and you come to the masjid. You leave the comfort of your house. You come here, you pray. No one is paying you anything. But you know you are doing it for the sake of Allah. At dhuhr time, you have to leave your work, you have to plan for it. You take your lunch maybe very quickly for 10-15 minutes because you have something important. You want to join the jama'ah, you go look for a masallah beside your workplace and you do it with the jama'ah and you come back to your work. Some other people don't care. They do it at home. After they go back to their house in the evening, they pray dhuhr and asr and maghrib all together in one shot. But you do it on time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At asr time, you try to go home sometimes and maybe you plan for asr, maybe you try to drop by a masjid or a musalla, pray asr, and then you go home, you take your lunch with your children. At maghrib, you look for your for the time and then you come back for maghrib. You need a lot of patience here. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. But in a different ayah he said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. It is a heavy duty. Something not easy. Illa ala al-khashi'een, except for those who have khushu', who submitted their will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are one of those, it will be easy for you. It will be easy. You will enjoy it. You find sweetness in it. If you don't pray on time, you feel like, oof, you did something wrong. You're missing something. You didn't pray on time today. You didn't wake up for Fajr. You feel bad about it. Because it became part of your daily life. It's your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. If you are, you keep coming to the masajid, you do your salat on a regular basis, inshaAllah, you are one of those who have khushu'. نسأل الله subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يجعلنا من هؤلاء ونسأل الله subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يفقهنا في الدين. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. There is the point here about this course. صَلُّوا, pray as you have seen me praying. This is a statement that he has made to his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. His Sahaba used to watch him and observe his salat. And then they conveyed the message to the Tabi'een. The Tabi'een got this message, this knowledge from the Sahaba. And they pass it to the next generation. The next generation among the next generation were Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Ahmad, Shafi'i, Imam Muslim and some other scholars. And they recorded the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They recorded the sunans of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did their part. They know how to pray. They know how to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those great imams did their job for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the ummah has slept for a while and abandoned the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abandoned the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We kept studying our great grandparents for a while. During a certain period of time, they neglected the right sources of knowledge. And they kept studying some books. These books, they have no hadith. They are sometimes the compilation, or there are some books that are summarized about, you know, the ahkam of al-fiqh, the sharia rulings regarding salat, without any dalil. There is no barakah of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These books, you study the book from the beginning till the end, you find no hadith there. People lost this connection with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lost this connection. But alhamdulillah, the ummah is coming back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we start printing again Riyad al-Salihin, printing Sahih al-Bukhari. They are translated into different languages. People are learning about the deen again. But there are things that we take for granted. For example, I'll give you an example. When I grew up, I found my father and my grandfather doing tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar, 33 times, subhanallah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, and that's 99, ending with لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. That's 100. I used to think for a long period of my life that this is the only way to do tasbih after salah. Even after I went to university in Medina, I didn't study this matter. I took it for granted. I said, this is the way everyone is doing it. I didn't care about it because they said, it's easy. Everyone is doing it this way. This is what my father used to do. This is what my grandfather used to do. And even people I see them around me are doing the same thing. Then after a while, a brother would bring a hadith to you that Rasulullah ﷺ did tasbih for 10 times. There is a hadith that he used sometimes to do it for 10 times. Tasbih and tahmid and takbir. There is another option. And the hadith are sahiha, are authentic. You study, you do some research, you find there's some scholars telling you, this is another option. If you are in hurry, you can do them only 10 times, and then you can leave. You study another hadith, you find that there is another option to do it. You can say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. These are four. Multiplied by 25 is 100. So another option. And it has La ilaha illallah, which is beautiful, the statement of Tawheed. So you study these options, you go back to the books of Hadith, you find that, you know, the Sunnah is rich with different ways of doing this beautiful ibadah, so you enjoy it. You enjoy it, you don't do it as a routine, as I said. Now here comes the importance of coming to these kind of courses here. We have the coolness of the eyes. It will be done here in Calgary, delivered by Sheikh Bilal Ismail on October 20th and 21st at the University of Calgary. It is an important course because it is about Salat. As I said, it is the main source of our hasanat in our life. And you will be able to study about the fiqh of Salat in 2 days. Nowadays, we don't have the time. Many of us don't have the time, or they cannot afford to come to the halaqat on a weekly basis. But this is an opportunity for them. You can invite your friends and your brothers to attend this class. Opportunity for you to review, even if you know the fiqh of Salat. But you review the fiqh, you refresh your memory, and you learned about different ways, different opinions, with a scholar, which we believe, inshallah, he's a trustworthy scholar. And he's very good for he's very famous for his good methods of teaching. I encourage everyone here to attend this course. The brothers here are launching Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar Institute is like Al-Maghrib Institute. The only difference is they do their courses on a single weekend. So those who cannot afford to come for a double weekend, like every two times for Saturday and Sunday, they can come to these courses for only one single weekend, and they will be able to study, you know, a course about fiqh or tafsir or hadith or aqidah or something like that. I'm not saying that you will be a scholar in one weekend. No, this is not possible. We have to spend time with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a problem nowadays with many young people. They study a hadith or an ayah, and then they come up with a conclusion. And they make big statements. Big statements about jihad, about someone being killed because he did this and this. Big statement. So many of our youth are confused, and I believe the source of confusion is lack of knowledge. We cannot build anything with ignorance, ya ikhwan. We cannot. I'll be frank with you. I have seen many movements, Islamic movements, trying to establish the Islamic State. Wallahi, I know of a group or of a party, political party, who had 3 million people who subscribed with him. 3 million people in a Muslim country. They tried to establish a Muslim state, with big statements, with big gatherings, with emotions, with incitement, with khutab, and festivals. But you look at the what they did, what kind of preparation they have established for the Islamic State. Where are the universities? When you establish a Muslim state, you need judges, you need a court system, You need a head of the state and people working with him who know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With emotions, with love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love is good. We love the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is not enough. We have to have the patience of studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Study, knowledge is a key to many blessings. And it's a different topic by itself, talking about knowledge and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored knowledge. I was talking to one of the teachers now just a couple of days ago. And he said, we have a problem in our community. He said, nowadays, in the Canadian community, in the Canadian society, the level of reading and comprehension within kids is dropping back, is becoming lower. Many kids are now losing the ability to comprehend and lessons and texts when they read them. But he said, it's worse in our community. And I said, this is Ummat Iqra. This is the Ummah of Iqra. This is the Ummah of read. The first word that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read. And we left reading. We don't like to read books nowadays. Everyone likes to listen, you know. And they get motivated when they listen to halaqat or something else. But you know, when you read, you take your time to understand. You might read the book or the story or the text for many times, and then you take your time, you are able to take some benefits. Barakallahu feekum.